Well, it's time now to take God's word, and I want to invite you to join us in Psalm 113 and verse number 9. We'll be looking at that in just a moment from the psalm I read earlier in the service with you. Now, Mom, I want to ask you a question. Are you blessed to be a mom? Do you think being a mother is a blessing or a curse? It might have something to do with whether you are the mother right now of someone in the terrible twos, or perhaps in the terrible teens. But regardless of the age of your kids, I think it is a blessing to be a mother. In fact, that's what I want to share with you from God's word today. If we were to ask God what he thinks about mothers, he'd call them beautiful and blessed. And I know that because he is the one that came up with the idea of motherhood. He is the great creator. And think about it. Just imagine with me, he could have created life and the propagation of the human race in any way he wanted. If he wanted, he could have had babies just spontaneously appear in a bush and you could kind of walk by and pick out the one you wanted. Or he could have just dropped them down by a stork. But instead, God chose to put a baby inside a mother's womb and let her carry that child for 9 months before that child would be introduced to the world. It was his idea. And I remind you, at the end of creation, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. But if you were to ask the average mom on the street today what she thinks about mothering, and you're probably going to get an earful of frustration. Did God curse females by making them mothers? Some seem to think so, and some even have a verse to back up their thinking. They turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 perhaps, where we read, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Does that verse teach, then, that mothers are cursed to have children? I don't think so. If you look at the verse carefully, the word sorrow appears twice, and it is in connection with conception and birth. So it's a curse on bearing children, not on being the mother of children. Mothering, therefore, is a blessing, and it is not a curse. But I doubt there's a mother alive who hasn't struggled at sometimes wondering whether she's blessed. In fact, a mother who was trying to corral three unruly youngsters was asked if she would have children again, if she could do it over again. And her answer is telling. She said, "Yes, but not the same ones." Well, I want you to consider then some reasons why you ought to consider yourself blessed today if you're a mom. And the first one is this. It is a blessing, number one, to bear. In Psalm 113, verse 9, which I mentioned just a moment ago, the Bible says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." We ought to praise the Lord for the blessing of being a joyful mother of children. I want to tell you, throughout Scripture, one of the primary ways God blessed women was to give them children. And here are some examples. Remember Sarah? She couldn't have children, but at age 90, God let her have her first son, Isaac. And this name means he laughs. Then there's Hannah, who couldn't bear either, and she prayed earnestly for a son, and God gave her that son. And then think of Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife in the New Testament. And she too couldn't have children until God said, "Zechariah, I'm going to give you a son by your wife who is old of age." You get the idea. When God wanted to bless a woman, he gave her children. And which each of the women I just listed, they all suffered from a common problem known as barrenness. So if you've been blessed to bear a child, or more than one child, then you have been blessed by God because you have been saved from barrenness. You know, this is a difficulty that we find not only in the Bible, but also in our modern world. In fact, I did a little research today Did you know that about 10% of women in the United States struggle to get pregnant or to sustain a pregnancy? That amounts to about 6.1 million women who wish they could be moms and are being kept from it. Now here's my point. If you're a mom, you've been blessed. God has kept you from the heartache that many women experience, the heartache of barrenness. Now please don't think that birth is merely then a matter of biology. The Bible teaches that God is intimately involved in the conception of every human life. Quite frankly, we have a tendency of missing God in the routines of life, the routine even of having a children. The Bible says in the New Testament that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. In that verse, we find that God is in the routine, the day-to-day bringing up the sun and from time to time sending rain on the fields of every person. God is in the routines of life, and he is in the routine of pregnancy. He causes a woman to bear. In fact, in the book of Ruth, in chapter number 4, verse 13, Boaz, an older man, takes a widowed woman from Moab named Ruth. And the Bible says Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, listen to this, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. It is a blessing to be a mom. It is a blessing to bear children. Not all women have that privilege, and that gift comes from God. But conception is just the start, however, we know, of pregnancy. Conception ultimately leads to childbirth. And if you've brought forth children, God has delivered you or saved you in childbirth. Let me give you another Bible example. Her name is Ruth. You'll find her story in Genesis 29 and in Genesis 30, but she also is barren. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1, she tells her husband, Jacob, give me children or I die. How she longed to be a mom. Eventually, God overruled and gave her a son, and his name is Joseph. How delighted she was. And God in his mercy also caused her to get pregnant a second time. But in the birth of the second son, whom we know as Benjamin, she had great travail of labor, the Bible says, and in the bearing of her second child, she died. Birth then can be perilous. Birth sometimes can be fatal. In fact, in our own country, though it's a small percentage of women who are carrying children, 700 women annually die during pregnancy or as the result of delivery complications. So if you're a mom, you've been blessed because God not only allowed you to conceive, God also allowed you to bear your child, and you're still here to tell about it. Safety in childbirth, in fact, is a promise in the New Testament to godly men and women. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So mom, let's review just for a moment. Here, I want to deliver you from some common unwholesome thoughts that mothers may have. Number one, I want you to dismiss from your mind that mothering is simply a matter of biology. Experience in the Bible do not permit this. If God gave you a child, it is a gift and you are blessed. A second thought that we ought to dismiss as moms is this. Dismiss the notion that God, is, as a mother, has put you under some kind of divine punishment. If you have toddlers tugging at your skirt, teenagers adding to your stress, or even adult children sometimes that wrench your heart, that's not a curse. It's a blessing because you get to be a mom. And if you're a mother, you are blessed. Let me give you a second reason that you ought to count yourself blessed today if you're a mom. Not only because you've been blessed to bear, but number two, you have been blessed to care. Girls are hardwired. They're hardwired in their DNA to be caregivers. Another preacher that I read this week said, every little girl who cuddles her doll and gives it a name, a personality, she loves it, chastises it, talks to it, and has it talk back to her with baby talk. It's proof that God made girls to become women, and women to become mothers. And history shows that women reached their finest hour when they rose to the challenge of caring for the children in their home. You've probably heard of the woman named Marie Curie. She lived back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and she's best known as being a scientist and the first woman to win a Nobel Prize. But she also raised her two children after her husband was tragically killed in an accident in 1906. And she did this alone. Another wife of President John Adams, Abigail Adams, was the second First Lady of the United States. And because her husband was often away from home for work, she often single-handedly ran the farm, wrote letters supporting equal rights for women and the abolition of slavery, and educated their five kids who survived into adulthood, including a future president named John Quincy Adams. Yeah, moms, they're hardwired to be caregivers. And women are most fulfilled, most satisfied when they have someone to love and care for. And God designed them that way so that they could care for the little bodies in their home. Moms oversee the feeding, bathing, and clothing of the children. When I think of moms this way, I think of Jochebed in the Old Testament, who for 3 months hid Moses and cared for him and tried to keep him under wraps, quiet, hidden away. Because at the time Moses was born, there was a sentence of death over every Hebrew son. But she resisted that death sentence, and she protected her son, and she cared for his body. In fact, in the book of Acts, we read about Jochebed in these verses, Acts 7, 20 and 21. The Bible says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. You know, it really is a woman's nature to care for the physical needs of her children. And we're always distressed when we hear stories about how this is upended or overturned, and a woman goes against her natural desires and turns against her own children. I'm thinking today of a story that happened in South Carolina in October of 1994. A frantic mother announced to the police that her red Mazda had been hijacked at gunpoint, and along with it, her two children, ages 3 and 14 months. Police investigators initiated a nationwide manhunt looking for the red Mazda that held this woman's children. Daily, Susan Smith came on the television, on the news station, and pleaded for the return of her children, Michael and Alex. But after 9 days, there was no sign of the kids and no sign of the red Mazda. And then the tragic news broke a few days later. Susan Smith confessed to driving her car and her children into a lake in upstate South Carolina. Susan had turned the natural affection of a mother on its head when she turned against her own children. Moms are designed to care for the children that God gives them. But nurturing goes far beyond bodies. It also includes brains. In fact, in the verses I just read a moment ago in Acts chapter 7, the word nourish is mentioned twice, both with reference to Jochebed and also with reference to Pharaoh's daughter. The word, though, means has predominantly the idea of forming the mind. It is a mother who first teaches her children something of the love of God as she embraces her children and speaks to her children and comforts them. She's also the first news about the justice of God as she teaches her children the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. and the corresponding punishment when children step over the bounds. And while the bulk of the responsibility of raising kids and teaching them about God lies with fathers in Scripture, women are the natural delegates of their husbands to take care of the children in their home. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." How important it is then that a mother care not only for the body, but also for the mind of her children. This is so like Jochebed. Remember Moses' mother? I mentioned her just a moment ago. She hid her son for 3 months and cared for his body, lest Pharaoh throw, or one of the Egyptians, throw her son into the Nile River. But she not only cared for his body, because she had the opportunity under Pharaoh's daughter to be the nurse for her son until he was weaned. And in those years, she so influenced and so impacted her son that Moses, when he was a grown man, chose not to go with the corruption of Pharaoh's house, but instead identified with Jehovah and Jehovah's people, the Jews. And what's to account for that? Jochebed had to have ministered to his mind as a little child so that he would never forget his roots, his upbringing, or his loyalty to God. How important it is to care not only for the body of a baby, but also to feed the child's mind. So is being a mom a curse? Is it cruel slavery to be tied up with toddlers? Is it a problem, a bondage, to be after and teaching teenagers? Your answer has a lot to do with what you believe about God and what He thinks is best for you. Let me put it to you this way. Is the God who made the world and the God who set up the first family to include a man, a woman, and children, is He holding out on you by making you a mom? This sounds an awful lot like the temptation that the devil, the serpent, brought to Eve in the Garden of Eden with these words. "The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You see, the devil insinuated this. God's holding out on you. Hey, but this is your lucky day, because I've showed up. I can liberate you from the kind of restriction God has under. Just mosey over onto this tree. Take a look at this here fruit. You'll be so much better off when you take charge of your own life and eat this fruit. And Eve fell for it. But you don't have to be like her. You don't have to let Satan tempt you into thinking that you'd be better off single, or better off pursuing a career, or better off having more time for yourself. I remind you that God knows you better than you know yourself. And He has given you a beautiful garden, and He's asked you to keep it, and it is your home. Dress it then and keep it. Look after your home. Care for the lives He has placed there. He designed you for it, and you'll never be more satisfied than when you're in the garden where He's placed you. You are blessed to be a mom, because you're blessed to bear children, and you're blessed to care for those children too. Finally, moms are blessed because they get to share. You're blessed to share. Mothers alone have the opportunity to share a part of themselves with those little people that they send out into the world. Of this, Mary in the New Testament is probably the best example. The angel who visited the Virgin Mary when she was just a teenager and said that she would be the mother of the Christ child, said that she was blessed. And blessed she was to bear the Christ child. But she had no idea what all that would involve. In fact, later Simeon in the temple would say to Joseph and his mother, I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 33 to 35, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary had no idea what was in store for her child. She just admitted herself and yielded herself to be a handmaiden of the Lord. But we know what her son became. Her son was given into the world to become the Savior of the world as he laid down his life upon a cross, paying for the sins of every person and rising again the third day. But that son, before he did all that, grew up in her home. She taught him the Bible on her knee. She marveled when they went to the temple and found him sitting among the religious teachers and the scribes and debating with them. He continued to grow up from age 12, and we don't really have any record from age 12 to 30. That's about 18 more years of care in the home. And then he went out to preach. Then he went out about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed. And then a short time later, he was taken. And his soul, he was arrested rather, and he was taken and tried, and they're crucified for the sins of mankind. And the Bible tells us his mother stood by watching. It was like a sword piercing through her. Her son, given by God, taken tragically before her eyes. But 3 days later, she heard the reports. She heard the reports that he was back. He was alive. And through his death and through his life, he continues to touch people around the world to the present day. She had no idea the impact that her son would have when that babe first kicked in her womb so many years earlier. But she was willing to be God's handmaiden and share her son with the world. This then is a third blessing we find in motherhood, the ability to share what God gives you with the rest of the world. At some point, the children that we have will leave home. They'll move on and start homes of their own. They will be employed in some way to the benefit of mankind, or if they're Christians, to the service of the Lord, whether that be in your town, another town nearby, or another state, or even another country. And when they go, they'll take a part of you with them. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be a mom. Susanna Wesley, who lived in the late 1600s and early 1700s, bore her husband 19 children, though she was left with their care most of the time. Only 10 of them reached to adulthood, among whose names are household names in Christian circles, the names of two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley. They, of course, went on to form a branch of Christianity that still exists today known as Methodism. But even more important than that, their lives continue to touch almost every branch of Christianity through the hymns of Charles Wesley and through the preaching and teaching of John Wesley. Wow! Every mom has the opportunity to make some impact with the world by sharing her children with the rest of the world. What an awesome opportunity. What a sobering responsibility. Mom, every day is not a glorious day if you're a mom. There are good days and there are bad days. But every mom should count herself blessed because God designed you to be a mom and to be a joyful mother of children. And that brings with it a lifetime of blessings that I hope you'll never forget. So today I hope that these simple thoughts will renew your hope in the blessing it is if you wear the title mother. Shall we pause for prayer? Our gracious Lord, we're so very thankful for the truth of these texts of Scripture and these women in the Scripture. Lord, we're so thankful for Rachel, who teaches us the blessing of being a mother and being saved from barrenness and from death and childbirth. Thank you, Lord, for Jochebed, who teaches us the blessing of caring not only for bodies, but also for the minds of our kids. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing of Mary, who reminds us that we have the opportunity to share what God gives us with the rest of the world. Truly, being a mom is a blessing. And I pray that you would encourage each mom in our church and each mom who happens to view this video to know that she is a special treasure in your eyes, and she is a mother of special treasures in her home. So God, encourage each mom today. Help us to reflect and review on the beauty of the home, and especially motherhood, as we celebrate that today. Thank you, God, for how you're going to help. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This message today was for moms, and I hope it has encouraged each mom listening. But maybe you listen today and you realize that when I spoke about Mary's son, the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins, maybe you've never placed your faith in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I want to encourage you today, if Jesus is not part of your life at this moment, that you make him part of your life by inviting him to forgive all of your sins and to give you eternal life. Because that's why Mary's son came. He came to die and to rise again so that you and I could be forgiven and be restored to fellowship with God. Won't you invite Jesus to be part of your life today? I hope you will. May God bless you.